Into the wild I'm going, into the wild I am. It's been a while, freedom child, since I left my roots back home. Into the wild I'm going, into the wild I am. It's been a while, freedom child, since I left my roots back home.
Welcome to the Free Birth Society podcast. This is a radical space for women who are ready to celebrate their autonomous choices in birth, motherhood, and beyond. Together, we'll learn about wild birth through personal narrative, we'll explore the politics of birth, and we'll analyze everything that relates to our lives as women from a feminist perspective. Here's your host, Emily Saldea.
It's been a while, freedom child.
Welcome, Huyam.
Thank you, Emily. I'm super happy to be here. And I just want to say the podcast has been so special in my journey. So yeah, it makes it very special, even more special to be here with you and share the space.
And I guess the podcast is how we were able to even meet at MRF a couple years ago.
Yes. Exactly. In my journey to my birth. Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, take us at the beginning. Who are you before you become a mom, and what leads you into this crazy, crazy thing called free birth?
Oh my God, who I was. So at that time, we were living in Montreal, Canada, with my husband, and I was a completely different person. I was sold a lie that the definition of success was to get a university degree and get a high-paying job, you know, in a corporation and just climb the corporate ladder. So I was working toward that, and you know, my everyday goal was to performing at my job, and I was completely disconnected from my womb. Obviously, I was, you know, on the pill for some years now, because that's the thing you have to do, right? So I was, yeah, just completely disconnected from my feminine and my womb and my health in general, I would say, until the time where we felt with my husband that we wanted to start our family. And as a performer, I decided that I had to optimize my fertility. So I decided to read about it so that I can get pregnant as soon as possible. And this is where a whole new world opened to me, and I discovered things that I've never knew before, you know, my early 30s. And I was just so frustrated, angry at myself, and did not understand how I didn't know that about my, you know, the female physiology.
What are you referring to? What do you discover that you're so upset about?
Just the effect of the birth control pill, for example, on the body, and just that you can, you know, your body is giving you signals, you know, in your menstrual cycle that at any point, like just the basic things of your menstrual cycle. Up to that point, for me, my period was just a nuisance, right? That it needed to remove, by using the birth control pill. So when I started to learn more about my physiology, about my body, about my fertility, I was, just discovered another world. I had so much reverence. I think right away I felt it really resonated with me. And more than, you know, it's not just about charting your cycle. It's really more about this connection about, you know, with my body and myself. So I started to dig into that, obviously learning more about pregnancy, about birth. And I don't know, for some reason, I always felt weird about birthing in a hospital or, you know, seeing an OB. I always felt that, you know, that pregnancy is not a sickness, right? So I was like, I felt always weird, right? So anyway, I got pregnant quite easily. And then I had the choice to either birth in a hospital, choose a birth center, or a home birth. And at that time, we went with a standalone birth center, just because I didn't know what I know now, right? And it was, you know, it was cute, a nice birth center with a nice, you know, birth pool. And it felt good at that time. So we went with that. And so at that point, it was already a very radical choice, you know, in my circle and, you know, in my family, like everybody was giving birth in a hospital and with the epidural. And it was like, what? Yeah, you know, what are you doing? What is that? You know, it was really radical. But at that point, it felt right for me. I was very lucky to have a midwife who was quite very, I think she opened my eyes on many things. She actually was Moroccan. And in Morocco, she used to be a home birth midwife in rural areas of Morocco. Then she immigrated in Canada and started to work as a midwife with this birth center. And I think she used a stethoscope during the whole pregnancy and the visits. And so every time she would have to talk about a test, you know, because it was the right time, for example, you know, you're 24 weeks, we have to talk about the gestational diabetes test. She's like, okay, I need to talk to you about that. This is this test. This is what it is about. You don't have to do it. And actually, this is my opinion, X, Y, and Z. So I ended up being like, oh, I don't want to do it. The same thing for GBS. So she didn't push me to do any tests or anything. So and in general, I had a great pregnancy. I felt amazing. I loved being pregnant. I felt vibrant, healthy. I felt great. Until the end, I barely had any nausea in the beginning. It was a great, great pregnancy. And at 39 weeks and 5 days, I started to have sensations. My birth lasted, like from the active labor to the birth, lasted around like 20 hours. I hated going to the birth center, like leaving my home, going to the car, leaving the car. It was like horrible. I remember telling my husband, next time I'm staying home. It was very clear for me. I just hated that. I also remember that I hated, so the midwife wasn't very present, but I really was more comfortable just being with my husband in the room. At that time, we also thought it was a good idea to have my mother and my mother-in-law with us.
Oh, wow. The double.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, so we wanted to have them so we flew them to Canada to stay with us for the postpartum. Okay, because I'm from Tunisian descent, my husband is from Algerian descent, and we take postpartum very seriously, right? They're sort of supposed to be here to take care of us. So when my labor started, we're like, okay, just come with us to the birth center, right? It was such a bad idea because I was really in my head. I couldn't like let go, because even if they were not with us in the room, I was like, okay, like, are they comfortable? Did they eat? And, you know, is that, you know, maybe it's too long for them. They should go home. And, you know, I was not able to fully let go. But anyway, it was, I was not prepared for the intensity, but still was such intense, transformational, beautiful, and I was very transformed by the birth. I thought that I wanted a water birth, but I just hated being in the water. I was just like, I remember laboring I like laboring in the water, but anyway, when my body started to push, I was like, okay, I just want to get out of here. And my husband was like, but you wanted a water birth, like just get me out of here. I just hated it. Yeah, it was a beautiful birth, and my postpartum and breastfeeding were quite intense. When I reflect, you know, on it's not necessarily the physical part that was intense. It's more about my transition to motherhood, right? Just realizing that, you know, I was our mother, and I was, I had this, you know, this baby to take care of. So it took me like a few months to adjust. But then when I adjusted, I just loved, and of course still love being a mother, but I just felt completely at ease with it. And we co-slept like from day one, and I breastfed. It was, everything felt very, very natural for me. I really followed my instinct as a mother, I felt. So everything felt very, very natural. But I think this is where, you know, the programming started, really felt disconnected. It started really with disconnection with my body, understanding the, you know, the female physiology, understand that, yeah, birth is definitely not a medical emergency. Even if I had, I knew that before, it just confirmed it. So I decided to, I had such a beautiful experience that I wanted to train as a doula. After that, so I trained as a doula because I wanted women to have the same experience as I have. So really from a hero, you know, point of view, really I wanted to save women, right? So I quickly then started to attend birth at hospitals. And so basically after the first birth I attended, I ended up crying in my car, you know, for a couple of hours before going home. I didn't have the language that it was, that I just witnessed abuse, but I just knew it was not normal. I knew it was definitely not normal, but, you know, they just teach you that, you know, it's not your birth and this is their birth and this is how it is. So
they chose this.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so you just continue, right? You,
God.
You get on with your trauma and then you just continue one after the other, right? And you're like, how is it happening? Like, what is happening? So I also started to teach women about fertility awareness methods and just really sharing what I, you know, my knowledge about that and making, you know, I really wanted women to feel that, they could take charge of their fertility at that point. So then we moved countries after that. We moved countries, we went to the Middle East for my husband's job, and I got pregnant. So we wanted to have another kid. We have, like, there is a big age gap between my daughter and my son, like 5 years and a half. And this was amazing. And I got pregnant end of 2019. And at that point, it was clear for me that I could not give birth anywhere else than in my home. I knew so much that, you know, about birth at that point that for me it was, you know, it's going to happen in my home. Where I live, unfortunately, I didn't have this option. So for me, the plan was to travel back to Europe where my parents live and to hire a home birth midwife. It would stay
there.
Wait,
what do you, hold on. When you say you wanted to give birth in your home, but you didn't have that option, what you really mean is there are not midwives who would come to your home.
Exactly.
And so there are no home birth. You thought that you needed a midwife in order for you to allow birth at home.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. For me, a home birth was with a home birth midwife, mm-hmm. right? There was no other. So I knew about free birth at that point, and I thought it was beautiful. And but it was just not in my radar. It was not for me because I had, you know, the option to have a home birth midwife, right? It was definitely not something that it was just not in my radar. So we traveled back to Europe in January 2020. I interviewed some home birth midwives, and we decided to, I would come back like a couple of months before the birth, rent a place for a few months. Yeah, very complicated, but it was, for me, there was no other option at that point. There was no way I could give birth in a hospital. And everything was clear. I would move there for a few months and then, you know, have a baby and then come back home. And then COVID happened, flights canceled, lockdowns everywhere. And I think I was in denial for a long time, you know, being like, oh, you know, like it can't be that serious, you know, it can't be that long. And, you know, people will wake up and, you know, everything will go back to normal quickly, right? And so the more my birthing time was approaching, the more I realized that it was not going to be the case, right? So I remember having like nightmares and be like, I just can't, you know. It was really scary for me, like the thought of giving birth in a hospital was scary for me. And just one night I was like, I'm just gonna stay home.
God, isn't the programming so deep that
right? It's
like the most obvious choice is right in front of you, but it's not even on the table because we have been so programmed to believe you have to have a medical provider. Like, God, it's incredible.
Right? Like right now, I mean, obviously this is just completely different, but at that time for me, yeah, it was not even an option. It was,
totally.
That's it. The only option available for me was that, you know, when I was going to move my family and spend, I don't know how much just to give birth to my baby, right?
It is funny,
right?
Isn't it?
Not it, yeah.
Oh gosh. Okay.
Oh my God. Yeah. It was, but at the moment I had the thought and I was like, I can just stay home. I swear, Emily, it's like a weight lifted off my shoulder and everything was very clear, straightforward. And I was like, how didn't I, you know, think about that before? It was so easy. It was such an easy, clear choice. Of course, I had like doubts and fears come up, you know, in that journey. However, I knew that it was the choice for me. You know, it was more about dealing with my fears than questioning that choice. So for me, it was very easy. So I just, at that point, I just needed to be, to feel that, you know, other women were, you know, also taking that choice. So this is where I found you, I found the podcast. So I think I listened to every single episode of the podcast at that point. I had a session with you as well. And I remember after the session, yeah, I was like, oh, like it felt so normal. The way like we were talking about free birth, I was like, okay, like, you know, it's not radical. It's, you know, it felt so normal and so right. I also took the Complete Guide to Free Birth. And I remember like listening to like every single video and think that I didn't feel triggered by anything. It felt like this is what I thought to be true about birth. I just didn't have the language for it.
Totally.
Yeah, so
that's when you know it's truth.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. So when my choice is made, I discussed it with my husband.
How does that
and
go?
Yeah. And for him, it was, I mean, in the beginning, he had so many questions like, okay, but what if and what was that? But very quickly, like, look, it's your choice. It's your body. I'm here for you. Whatever you choose, just tell me what I need to do. Right. That's it. So, and he was very supportive the rest of the pregnancy. I had a beautiful pregnancy. I love the journey to just preparing for free birth. I think it's such a completely different journey. Because you are just taking back everything that is yours, right? Everything that is yours for your body, for your pregnancy, for your birth, for your motherhood, right? And it felt really, really good. It felt right for me. And so I felt I was prepared for anything, but I was not prepared to go until 42 weeks. And yes. Oh my God, this was challenging because my first was born like a, you know, right before my week 40. So I was like, oh, you know, probably 39 weeks or 40 weeks. But then, you know, every single day when you wake up and you're still pregnant and you're like, oh my God. So it was really hard emotionally. However, I really knew that like I wouldn't do anything else than just wait, you know. I knew that even if it would go until 43, 44 weeks, I wouldn't do anything to, I would just, you know, be pregnant and wait until my baby is ready.
And just be miserable.
Exactly.
I'll just complain for an extra 2 weeks. It's fine.
Yeah, this is what my life was, you know, for these 2 weeks. I just complain and be miserable and cry. And, you know, my husband was supporting me and telling me the same exact thing every single day, but I needed to hear it. And, you know, but yeah, I never had any other fears, or there was never another option that felt good for me at that point. And then the morning before, like the week 42, I woke up still pregnant, still miserable. And this is where I went to the bathroom, and there was my mucus plug. And I literally cried at that point because I was like, something is happening. I was so happy. We had a beautiful day. I had light sensations, but nothing, you know, nothing more. We had a beautiful with my daughter, and went to the pool, stayed home, like watched a movie. And then at dinner, one of my friends came for dinner and everything stopped. All my sensations stopped. And I thought, oh God, another day. And then, so she left, we put my daughter to bed, and I told her, okay, I told my husband, we have to go to bed because maybe something will happen at night. And the moment I put my head on the pillow, this is where I have a huge contraction here. And this is where things started. So at that point, my labor lasted for 5 hours. And even if I had a beautiful pregnancy the first time around, I think there is nothing compared to a free birth, really. There's nothing compared to like being in your own home, being your own authority, nobody telling you what to do, where to go, touching you, listening to heart tones or anything like that. It was just beautiful. And I labored between like my room and my bathroom. And it was at night, so my daughter was asleep. It was just me and my husband. It was, beautiful support. He has a very calming, grounding presence, and this is exactly what I needed at that point. And I was just doing nothing more, just giving me water, not talking to me, just, you know, holding my hands while I was having the sensations. I thought I wanted another water birth, went to the bathtub, but didn't work out. I was like, yeah, not for me. Never try that again. Love being in the shower. The sensations were really, really, really intense. And then I ended up next to my bed when my body was pushing. And and then my son came out, I think after like 30 minutes of intense pushing, hated pushing sensations, was really, really intense. And the sensation of just, you know, holding your baby on your chest, and it's just you and him for that, you know, time, was just beautiful, and you know, very hard to describe. But it was just beautiful. And then he latched really quickly. The placenta came out around like after 45 minutes, I think. But everything felt good and right. And then my daughter woke up, and we were all together in the bed, and it was just, it was just beautiful. What's interesting as well is that few moments later, I just felt another baby. I knew that I was going to have another baby soon, and I knew he was going to be a boy. So I just felt it right away. It was very, very strong, and very strange and beautiful. But I really felt his presence at that moment. And then postpartum was very easy. Breastfeeding was like a breeze. I was so happy and so confident as a mother. Really, right away, I think it gave me the confidence that I, you know, could do anything as a mother. I, you know, the health of my children is not something that has to be given to anyone else, you know, than myself, right? And I think this has been my, you know, my journey in motherhood is, you know, the way I birthed gave me the confidence to be the mother I wanted to be for my kids.
Yeah. I mean, it goes in either direction, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely, definitely. So,
do you start working with women in the birth education, fertility world?
Yeah, so at that point, I never stopped being a doula and doing like prenatal like education and fam trainings, but it slowly shifted to really where I really wanted to share what I knew to be true about, you know, birth and, you know, female body.
Yeah, because when you took RBK, you were still like straddling.
Yeah. But this is definitely has been a shift for me. So I started the RBK when my son was 3 months old.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So again, it was another like layer of deprogramming and really allowed me to work with women really in integrity and not, you know, with the baggage of what I learned to be true as a doula in the system, but really work with what I felt to be true about birth and about, you know, women in general. It really allowed me to be like, okay, just now you have to be integrity. You have to share what's right for you, you know, and it maybe mean that you're not for everyone.
For sure.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You know, you're not the right birth worker or the right doula for anyone. It changed completely my perspective on, you know, being a doula who wants to be like, you know, hired and, you know.
Okay, sisters, listen up. This is really big and really important. If you are a sovereign birth worker of any kind, if you are working with women holistically, totally independent of the medical system, the Worldwide Sovereign Birth Professional Directory is finally here. I am thrilled to announce that the MatraBirth Directory is live. This is a long time coming and something we have been working really hard on behind the scenes that is going to majorly support the longevity of the birth liberation movement. We are contacted here at Free Birth Society on average 100 times a week by women around the world asking for our help in connecting them to sovereign birth professionals. So that really guided us to create something that fills a major need. No need to be underground anymore, no need to be at a loss of how to find your clients, or in reverse, where to even start looking for a radical birth keeper. We did the hard work to create the network so that you beauties can all find each other with ease. So here's the deal. Through the end of the year, we are intaking professionals who offer sovereign pregnancy and birth support. So that's coaching, education, birth witnessing, any and all of it. Women who offer postpartum support of any kind, women who offer holistic fertility and cycle coaching, and women who offer birth trauma integration sessions. Now, this can be live, in person, or virtual. If you are a professional that offers anything within these categories, you need to head over to matrabirthdirectory.com and get yourself listed. If you're a woman or a mother seeking these services, you can drop your name on our waitlist and be the first to hear when we go public. So all of you, but especially those of you in the professional world of birth, head over to matrabirthdirectory.com and join the network.
From that point to be, I'm going to be an integrity and I'm going to call in women who feel, you know, who resonate with what I have to share. And it really completely changed my perspective. It really, the women whom I work with were really women who have the same, you know, mindset than I do. So it felt, or women who are really working towards that mindset and really, you know, needed another woman to be with them, you know. And it felt, yes, such a complete change, my work has been really completely transformed, really. Yeah, yeah. And I felt that I was able as well to offer, you know, my skills and knowledge, you know, I would say from the full spectrum, not just with birth, but also with, you know, womb wisdom and, you know, knowledge about female physiology and postpartum. So really the whole, you know, life cycles, you know, of women, but not from a place of, from a place of integrity, really. That's the word.
And you are doing in-person work with women and virtual.
I've been doing both.
And so in the Middle East, it's like, how's it going? Like, is there just a lot of interest? Is it slow? Is it word of mouth? Like, how's it going? Because I make up that there isn't a lot of like really radical sovereign support out there.
Definitely, but I think women are more, I think more and more women are understanding that, you know, there are options out there. And I truly believe that it's, you know, I really thought that it could, you know, that it would start with, you know, birth education, but I truly, truly believe that it could start even like earlier.
Yeah.
You know, when women start realizing that, yeah, they can definitely understand their body, you know, understand their fertility, take charge of their fertility. They don't have to rely on birth control pill. And I think really this gives a sense of power to women. And I think it's opening the path to a more sovereign life. You know, so not necessarily starting with birth, but starting with really body literacy and you know, education about the female physiology. So yeah, I mean, it's slowly, there is more and more interest, I would say. Yeah, definitely.
And yeah. So how soon does your second boy find you?
Yeah, so, I just want to share something just before that is that, you know, obviously we did not share our plan with, you know, many people before, but when we shared with our family right after, you know, I shared with my mother that, you know, my baby was born and he was born at home. And she's like, oh, great. So you had a midwife. I'm like, no, it was just, you know, me and my husband. And, you know, and this started a series of conversation with my mother about birth, and I started asking more questions. And you know, I'm from Tunisian descent, and my mom was born and raised in a very little, like, small village in mountains in Tunisia. And actually, she shared with me that my grandmother was attending birth. That time I thought it was beautiful, and so they did not necessarily have like midwives. But they had like wise women attending, you know, birth with, you know, for each other. And my mother, as, you know, a teenager, so girls between 15 and 20 would attend women postpartum. So when a woman would give birth, my mom would go and, you know, take care of the house, cook for her, take care of her, you know, play with the kids, etc. So it was beautiful to have, you know, this kind of, you know, circle. And to know that about my like lineage, and the fact that my grandmother was, you know, a midwife. So I knew then that I wanted to have another baby. My bleed came back when my baby was 14 months old. And after that,
wait, did you just say 40 months?
14, 14.
I was like, 40 months? You're crazy. I was about to like end the conversation. Yeah. 14, okay. That? That's allowed.
14. Allowed. It's allowed, right? I'm still on.
When is the cutoff? I feel like after 18 months. It's
after weird. 18, yeah. After 18, yeah. Me too. Like, exactly. Even my he's 18 month, and I'm like, he was.
Even after 12 with Sawyer, after 12, I was like, he's a year. Like,
yeah.
He's a year and some change.
Yeah, exactly. It would take a year and a half, and then that's it. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, 14. No, so
after I was like, 14, that doesn't seem like you. That doesn't seem like your personality. Okay, so after
definitely after 4, yeah, after like a year and some change, right? Mm-hmm. I had my cycle resumed, and so we really, yeah, it was really conscious conception. I took a few months to really take care of my body and my husband the same, and you know, we took on our baby, and then I got pregnant quite quickly, and I was 40 at that point. I was 40 and a couple of months. I just want to mention that because I feel that, you know, like, you know, women, like for women around me and for a lot of women. And a lot of my clients, you know, they feel that after 35, like, you're done, like, you're never gonna get pregnant, like,
well, naturally. They don't feel that. They are told that.
Yes.
You know? God,
it's such a... Yeah. They're told that after 35, and if you get pregnant, this is a geriatric pregnancy, and the whole thing is just, yeah, just quite intense. And I had a beautiful pregnancy, some nausea in the first trimester. I just love being pregnant. Until that third pregnancy, I would say until the last few weeks, it was quite intense. I felt super heavy and I was just done. So I really manifested and I imagined a birth in the middle of the night, like my second, but it was during the day. I know, with all the like kids and the whole thing, you know. So this was quite intense to manage, but I started actually, my labor started at night. And I was, I just labored alone in my bedroom. My husband was sleeping with our son, and I just loved that part. I just loved being alone at that point. And then I woke up my husband at 6 a.m. Like, I think it's, you know, baby will be here quite soon. So, you know, he managed the kids. We have a help at home, so she handled the kids so he could stay with me fully. And this labor, I felt that at a moment I went to a very dark space for some reason. I think I don't know what came up exactly. Maybe I had things to process, but it was such a dark time at that point. It was during transition, but it was in a very, very dark place. I remember it was like rage, and I remember like punching the wall, and my husband like took a pillow and he was like pulling the pillow between my hand on the wall, like, so I don't like hurt myself, and I was like punching, you know, the pillow. And I gave birth in the same exact same position at my first, then my second, like next to my bed on my all four. My husband was holding my hands, and he was born after, I think, 15 or 20 minutes of intense pushing. Again, hated the like pushing sensations. And he came. It was just so beautiful. And placenta came after 20 minutes, again, very quickly, very easily. And, you know, and then kids came back. We were all in the bed, and it was just felt so normal and so beautiful. And I think during my pregnancy, there was I don't think there was a moment where we discussed where I would give birth with my husband. It was just,
yeah.
Obvious, well, no, right?
No one has a free birth and then like...
Yeah, right.
You don't go the other way. You don't go back into the system.
Yeah. It's just like we were thinking about it after the birth. Like, I think we didn't even discuss the birth.
Yeah.
I know.
That happened with Johnny and I. We didn't even talk about the birth the entire pregnancy of our son. And then literally like a week before I gave birth, I was laying in bed at night. And I was like, wait, is there anything we need to discuss? And he was like, I don't think so. I was like, okay, great. Actually, yeah. I remember I said one thing. I said, if a baby comes out not alive, do not do anything.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one thing I said, which is like dark, but it's the one thing.
Yeah.
Told him.
I think we just, the thing that we discussed was just the logistic with the kids. Like, you want to
kiss them there
or here, like just that, that's it. And I was like, I don't think, you know, we'll see how I feel. But at that point, I thought maybe I wanted the kids to be me, mm-hmm. but then it was just a no. Like, I was like, just I'm out of here.
This is integrated. This is birth as an integrated experience. You know, Erica the other day said to me, she was like, it's honestly just all very boring. Like, I gave birth, literally, who cares? She was like, it's not even interesting. And I was like, I know, I love it. Like, it's that, and it's the most incredible, miraculous, epic thing ever. But it's both at the same time. It's just so normal, so boring.
Oh my God, exactly. You're like, okay, that's it. I gave birth. You know, life goes on, right? Like, life continues, and kids need to be fed, and you know. And just life continues, and this is nothing. Yeah, as you said, it's just such a miracle. But at the end of day, you're like, okay, that's it. Your life
you're just
on.
Like a casual channel of God. It's just like a total casual instrument of life.
Love that. Love that. Yeah.
But that is it. That is to be integrated. It is both. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And this is where you're like we sold the lie to women that it's this big thing to be managed and to be like taken care of, and it's,
well, we didn't.
Oh my God, it's just not right. It's just not that. And yeah, and I think this birth allowed me to again like remove another mm-hmm. layer, you know, of programming. And you know, it's always, this is what I loved about birth and free birth, that every time I'm journeying into, you know, something else, I'm just knowing myself a little bit more. I'm able to also support women in a place of even more integrity. And I don't care about, you know, the rest, and I don't care about not being liked. I just don't care. You know, I just do my thing, and it feels great, you know, for me. And yeah.
So do you see women around you choosing sovereign birth because of knowing you, like because of that? Is the ripple effect happening in your community like it is so many other places?
I mean, I guess so. I guess it's something that I'm, you know, it's hard to say that you have your, like, whatever you're doing has an impact on someone else, you know, directly. It's just hard to imagine. But
is it hard to imagine, or is it hard to admit?
Yeah, maybe both. I don't know.
If you're like the only or the first, it would be pretty obvious that you were planting those seeds in your community.
Yeah. Maybe it's hard to admit, as you say. Yeah. But and just after that, I also did the Blood Mystery School after my third birth, and again, it was another layer of, you know, how to support women in my community with, you know, all these beautiful learning and tools, and, you know, from a place of, you know, sovereignty and integrity. Yeah.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to share before we close?
I just want to thank you really, really, because I really, oh my God, just such an impact on, you know, my journey from, you know, from the moment I had this light bulb moment, you know, at night, where, oh my God, I can just do that, right? yes. So thank you. And thank you for what you're doing.
Well, thank you. I hope you'll come back to MRF someday.
I will. I really hope to. And I hope to bring my daughter as well. She's going to be 10. And, you know,
she's going to be 10. I have this cute image of her, of just, there was just chaos in the dining tent. Everyone was just, you know, being nuts. And she was just sitting by herself reading a book.
Still the same.
In the middle of everything. It was so cute.
She's still the same. Yeah.
That's adorable.
She was 5 at that time. And she often, she tells me, like, remember mommy when we went, you know, to the festival? And So hopefully we'll come back.
I would love that. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for your time and for your willingness to share these beautiful stories.
Thank you so much, Emily.
I hope you enjoyed the show today. You can support this podcast by donating to it through the link in the show notes below. And of course, leaving an awesome review on whatever platform you listen on. The more reviews, the more visibility the show gets. So let's spread the good word of sovereign birth. Don't forget, you can watch our podcast interviews on YouTube and see the women as they tell their birth and power stories. And you'll also find our viral free birth collection of epic raw birth videos on our YouTube. Make sure you're subscribed to our channel. We've always got a lot going on at Free Birth Society, and you can find out all about it at freebirthsociety.com, at Free Birth Society on Instagram, and opt in to my newsletter below.
We offer courses on free birth, authentic midwifery, the blood mysteries, as well as one-on-one coaching, in-person retreats, and of course, our annual women's gathering, the Matriarch Rising Festival. Our exclusive, private, vetted membership, The Lighthouse, is definitely something to check out if you're looking for a community of wise sisters to get guidance from and to meet in real life. Together we rise, sisters. We must speak our stories, fully claim our lives, and support one another. This is the living revolution, and I am so grateful to be in it with all of you. I'll leave you with our gorgeous Free Birth Society theme song, Wild Woman by Aruba Red.
I honor you for the wisdom you held, the ancient traditions of plant medicine and womb magic. I feel the spirit of the ancestors as I place my hands upon my belly. This sacred portal will be honored. Eons upon light beams of survival, withstanding the eradication of our power by design. I will not allow the separation of our young to be forced upon me. My sisters will no longer birth in captivity. The picket line redefined from burning our wild women to paralyzing us and drugging our babes. Strapped down in a clinical white bed, drying up the milk from our breasts, keep your needles. My family will never again be doomed to chase those dragons or your poison. We reject your fear. We choose love. Everything with intention. Death, ascension. I will fly and bring her back from the stars.